Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Monday, July 14th, 2014. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. The sun is shining, no thunderstorms. And we're going to be talking today about electromagnetic hypersensitivity. That's EHS for short. My guest today is biochemist Richard H. Conrad, PhD. He is someone who has multiple chemical sensitivities and electromagnetic hypersensitivity, but he's also a scientist, and he has a lot of information. He thinks about things, about how to figure out what the solution is, and he has a lot of background experience in science. I'm looking for all of his credentials here. He graduated from Brandeis University. Then he obtained a PhD in biochemistry from Johns Hopkins University. Then he spent some time in the biochemistry department at Cornell University and was an assistant professor at the University of Washington in Seattle. And one of his many interests led him to spend a number of years experimenting with different ways of disinfecting his swimming pool and hot tub using ozone. And there he met my father, which is how he met me. So we've known each other for quite some years and have had many, many conversations on these subjects. So welcome to the show, Richard.
Thanks, Deborah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning
and
here.
It's just past morning here. You're up in Hawaii. Richard is in Hawaii. So what time is it there?
A little after 6 a.m.
Yeah. So we met, man. How long have we known each other?
25, 20 years?
20, something like that. Something like that, yeah.
And the fact that you mentioned the ozone generation, I'd gotten into electronic design rather heavily and did a lot of electronics. I was a real techie that enjoy electronics, and I was designing high voltage, high frequency switching power supplies for generating ozone. And these are tremendous emitters of EMF, which I didn't think about at the time. And they didn't bother me at all. I was standing next to them, operating them, experimenting with them. And it wasn't until years later that I got EMF sensitivities from other devices.
Well, tell us your story of how you became chemically sensitive and electrically sensitive.
Well, the chemical sensitivities, people can be either disposed genetically or things happen as they grow up that affect their immune and endocrine system that makes them more susceptible. But in particular, I had some mold problems in my home that I didn't know about. The carpet under the bed I was sleeping on was soaking wet for months with water that had leaked in from a shower. And then the other factor probably was formaldehyde from a particle board camper, a brand new one that I was living in, closed up in the winter. But it happened rather quickly all at once at one point that suddenly colognes and perfumes began to bother me. But I was doing my electronic experiments for maybe 5 years after that with no problem and working with switching power supplies. And a friend of mine told me about her electrical sensitivities. That was the first time I had heard of it, and I thought it sounded crazy to me. I didn't believe it because I worked with this stuff, and it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. And she was not a scientist, and she was maybe, I thought, a little bit susceptible to believing these things, making it up. And then I forgot about it, and a few years later, I bought some new equipment, a projector to uses a computer monitor, a video projector, and I was amazed at the gorgeous image and was using it for DVDs and a large screen computer monitor for doing CAD design work. And after about 2 hours on it, my skin began to burn. It was very strange. It felt like a sunburn. And I was wondering what that was, but didn't know what it was related to. And then the next day I was using it, and my skin started to burn after about an hour. And the next day my skin started to burn about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the next time I used it, my skin burned in 5 minutes. And eventually my skin was burning within 1 minute of when I turned it on. And there's no doubt the correlation. Mm-hmm. And they say that correlation isn't always causation, but repeated correlation, when there's no other thing that's changing in your life, it's common sense to realize what is causing the problem. And this is the projector for me. And then after that, I began to have reactions to various other things, like my MIDI keyboard playing music. My wrists would hurt. And in fact, I think some of carpal tunnel syndrome is not just the overuse of the muscles and the joints and the hands and wrists. It's using them in an electromagnetic field really potentiates the carpal tunnel even more.
That makes sense.
And there were a number of other exposures I got inadvertently, and I didn't know what was happening until later. And then I realized and correlated it with the electrical device. There are no normal symptoms, but typical symptoms of electrical sensitivity, because I've talked to hundreds of people and did a survey on smart meter effects, are ringing in the ears, an unusual ringing in the ears, different kinds of tinnitus or tinnitus, usually called tinnitus, I think, which can have different kinds of characteristic sounds like buzzing of bees or cicadas or rushing water, and it's sound that's generated inside your head by the nervous system and doesn't go away. Or it goes away slowly, but it can happen very quickly after an exposure and then takes days or weeks to go away, if at all, if it goes mm-hmm. away at all. And heart arrhythmias, which people have never had before, can be due to exposure to equipment. Type of equipment that people are exposed to that they don't realize has a lot of EMF is when they get an ultrasound that also produces a lot of EMF. Unusual headaches, unusual insomnia, burning skin, agitation, fatigue, numbness. These are effects on the immune and the nervous system, which pervade the whole body, so you could get any kind of system which reflects problems in the nervous system. That varies from person to person, but there are these typical range of symptoms, which are usually the tinnitus, heart arrhythmias, burning skin, agitation, insomnia, headaches, severe headaches.
So it basically affects the nervous system and the immune system?
It appears to, yes. Unfortunately, the research in humans is very, very sparse. The only research in humans has been showing that there are a few experiments that do show that people heart rate and heart rate variability changes with exposures in double-blind experiments. Also, there are changes to the EEG and changes in sleep patterns in humans that have been proven and, in fact, accepted by the people who don't want to accept these things, such as the telecommunications companies and the WHO, they have to admit that these effects exist, and the FCC, but they claim that, they're not significant. Well, if the EEG, changes in the EEG are not significant, and changes in sleep patterns are not significant, that means thinking and your mood and your ability to figure out problems or your emotional happiness are not significant. So they're looking for slam-bang side effects. But if the FDA was in charge of regulating EMFs, and they did it in such a way that they regulate, even though sometimes poorly, the drugs, if there's a whole spew of side effects in people, they start looking at them and keeping track of them and will draw a drug if there's a problem. And, in fact, before a drug is allowed to be on the market, they'll look at the side effects and the testing. In the EMF world and the telecommunications, the cell phones, the computers, all the different Wi-Fi devices and the smart meters, there has been no testing on humans, none, no matter what they say. There is not any testing on humans. And when they get report after report after report of the side effects, they say, oh, well, that's the first time they've heard of it each time. That's what they say.
I'm sure it isn't.
They reject it.
We need to go to break. Go to break, and we'll talk more about this when we come back. This, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is biochemist Richard M. Conrad. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about living with electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and my guest is biochemist Richard H. Conrad, PhD. He's got a lot of papers and links related to MCS and electro-hypersensitivity on his website, which is conradbiologic.com. And he also does consulting. So if you have a question for him about how you can reduce toxic chemical exposures and EHS, electromagnetic exposures, in your home, then he's a good person to call. Again, his website is conradbiologic.com. So, Richard, you talk to a lot of people. I know you've talked to just probably hundreds of people over the years who have electrical sensitivity. And what are some stories you've heard from them?
Well, in a way, similar to mine, that they didn't believe in it beforehand. They hadn't heard of it beforehand in many cases. And when it first happened to them, they didn't know what was happening and didn't relate it to electronic equipment until correlations began to become obvious. And most of them were people that were addicted to their electronic equipment and wanted or had for their occupation to continue using it, and now can no longer use the equipment, or at least only sparingly. And most people were using Wi-Fi, cell phones, computers, and then they get electrical sensitivity, and they stop using Wi-Fi completely. They can't use cell phones anymore. They use computers, but maybe only for 10 or 20 minutes before they get symptoms. I've got one story of a fellow that just called me a week ago from Jamaica, a young 21-year-old guy, very bright, who has won a number of awards in software design for mobile applications. He's just starting his career. He has about 15 or 20 software programming languages under his belt, and was invited to be part of a startup company, and really had high hopes of his work, and he has a girlfriend. I'm sure he wants to get married. And then what happened was, one day he was working many hours on his computer and fell asleep in front of it and in front of the 4G wireless modem about 4 feet away from him. And when he woke up, his life changed forever. He had numbness in his body, great deal of fatigue. He's a guy that normally has very high energy, and ended up in bed and didn't know what to do, didn't know it was affecting him until he began to make correlations and bought an EMF meter and realized how much EMF radiation was in his environment, and figured out what the sources were and cleaned it up and practiced avoidance, which is basically the only thing, one of the few things we can do to lessen electrical sensitivity and lessen the probability of getting it. And now he built a little shack at the beach so he could escape all technology for a few days at a time. And he still can't use anything, but and he still has the numbness in his arms and legs, fingers, feet. But at least he's not as ill as he was. But he can't pursue his occupation. He's all trained and ready to go as a programmer, and he's in limbo right now.
I want to ask you a question about something you just said. You said that he goes to the beach so that he can escape all technology. Now, this is something, what I'm about to ask you, is something that I've wondered about for a long time, because you're much more of an EMF expert than I am. And that is that I know that they're just like sending all these frequencies all around the world. It's like you can hardly walk down the street without running into one of them. And so I have this idea that there really isn't a place that you can go in the world that where you would receive no exposure to EMFs anymore. It's like toxic chemicals. There's no place you can go on Earth where there are zero toxic chemicals. Is that true? Or is maybe when he goes away from like the center of a city would probably be the worst place where there's all so much electromagnetics going on. But that maybe if you went to the beach or out in the mountains, that you wouldn't have so much immediate exposure, but that there would still be that background exposure?
Yes, and the people can generally tolerate, although possibly with subliminal symptoms like agitation and attention deficit in everyone, as short-term effects that they don't realize, and possibly long-term cancer effects from low levels, but no overt symptoms. But once it gets over a certain level, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back, and for certain people it throws them into extreme sensitivity. And if they get out of the strong exposures, at least they have a chance to recover somewhat. There's huge differences in the levels in different areas. You're right. The radars, the low frequency transmissions that penetrate the Earth and go through the ionosphere and penetrate the oceans to communicate with submarines, all the satellites beaming down microwaves, you can't escape it all. But the very, very strongest, by thousands of times stronger, is what people have in their very own homes and what they're using against their heads. Putting a 1-watt microwave transmitter next to their heads, the cell phone, and smart meters on the sides of houses, which are causing symptoms way above what you'd expect from the levels of the intensity that's actually there. It's probably due to the pulses of the microwaves. If people get away from the major sources, then after a while they can tolerate the lower sources, at least without overt short-term effects. In fact, being under salt water absorbs most of the microwaves. But being at the beach, by that I meant just being away from civilization and cell phone towers and other people's cell phones. It is a great help to do that. Just like if you eat organic food, you still might be getting some plasticizers from some processing in the factory or packaging and trace amounts of things, but it's still a great help. In spite of breathing chemicals in the air, at least most of what you're taking in is better.
Well, by doing that, you're reducing the overall load. Even if it isn't down to zero, it's less than a million. We need to go to break.
And one thing people should always be.
But we do. Wait. We need to go to break, or the commercial will just come cut you off mid sentence. So just hold that thought, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm talking with biochemist Richard Conrad. His website is conradbiologic.com. And we'll be right back to hear what he's got to say. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Gatt, and my guest today is biochemist Richard H. Conrad, PhD. And he's talking to us from his home in Hawaii, where he does consulting by phone for individuals, architects, builders, and corporations about reducing EMF exposures in homes and workplaces. His website is conradbiologic.com. And Richard, what did you want to say before I so rudely cut you off?
Do
you remember?
But I wanted to mention...
It was something about reducing... we were talking about reducing...
There's so much to say in such a short time. For everyone, it's important to reduce their exposures, and we're getting a lot of unnecessary exposure from Wi-Fi that's on all the time. Computers that are left on all night. Everything should be shut off when not used, especially while sleeping, so the body can recover. And people should not use Wi-Fi. It would be much better to use Ethernet cable so they don't have these transmitters, intentional EMF radiators.
Now, I have a question about that. I don't use Wi-Fi in my home. But, when I turn my laptop on, and usually I use my desktop, but when I turn my laptop on, it asks me if I want to connect to this Wi-Fi because it's picking up my neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Well, yes, And in some cases, in apartment buildings, there might be hundreds of Wi-Fis at very high levels that someone's exposed to, and it won't help too much to turn off their own. But in most cases, in individual homes, it does.
Yeah.
When you are in an internet cafe and using your laptop, the Wi-Fi signal from the modem in the internet cafe is strong enough to be worrisome. But much worse is the Wi-Fi next to the source that's so close to you, your computer, which is communicating with it. So using Wi-Fi with a laptop, you're getting a huge dose compared to what's coming from the node 10, 20, 30 feet away. So it's just doing it for someone that's not sensitive and hopefully not predisposed to getting more sensitive. It's okay to do it for a few minutes at a time, but it's not something I would recommend.
I totally agree. I wanted to say that in terms of just being exposed to less, that I had an EMF inspection some years ago, and they came in with all their Gauss meters and stuff, and they found that the highest levels of EMF in my home were right where I was working every day. I was just sitting right in the hottest spot in my house. Excuse me. And one of them was I had a generator under my desk so that because we have a lot of thunderstorms here in Florida, and so sometimes the electricity goes off, so I got this backup generator that would keep my computer on even if the power went off. And that was the number one source. And it was sitting right under my desk, like I would put my feet on it. And
keep your feet warm, huh? Is it a backup, a battery backup, an APS system?
A battery backup, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that has a switching power supply that's running all the time. That's why it's so strong.
Yeah. So I just got rid of that, just completely. I took it out of the house entirely, and I no longer have a battery backup. But I haven't needed it. I mean, I haven't had any problem not having it. And the second hottest place was right next to my desk where my phone was. It was my cordless phone, not my cell phone, my cordless phone.
They're really bad. They transmit all the time, whether or not you're using them.
Right. And so I immediately took out those two things. I got a corded phone. I've been using a corded phone since. And it's just these kinds of things where, you know, there's so much new technology. And I think that people just think it's more convenient or it's the coolest thing or whatever. And when in fact, if we would just do something like get the wireless phones out of our house, I mean, I know that there's a whole list of other things that can be done. But even if somebody just removed the wireless phone, and like on other shows, we've already talked about cell phones. And like I have a cell phone, but it's way on the other side of the room in my purse. And I tell people, here's my cell number, but don't call me on it because I don't ever answer it. And the only time I have it is so that I make sure that if I need to be reached in an emergency, when I'm traveling, I use it. When I go out of the house, I have it. So if I need to make a phone call, things like that. But I'm not walking around with my cell phone in my pocket all day long, like some people, or having it next to their ear all day long, like some people.
And they in fact, transmit less, but they transmit even in receive mode when you're not talking on them.
Yeah.
As long as they're on. And even worse are the smartphones, because they are like more like a computer, which is communicating with the internet. And there's much more data going back and forth all the time on those. There's a lot more emissions from those.
So I wanted to mention... Yeah, go ahead.
Why the FDA... Well, there's two things I want to mention. A lot of things.
There's a lot I want to talk about. How about if you talk about why the FCC and the EPA don't protect us from harmful EMFs?
Because the FDA standards are designed to protect us from heating, as if we were meat in a microwave oven. And they're not recognizing the effects of very low levels of EMF, which there are tens of thousands of research papers showing these effects in cells and in animals. And most animal experiments are relevant to humans. Not all, but this is what's used in the drug industry, so why not in the telecommunications industry to be worried about thousands of animal experiments that show problems with breakage of chromosomes, leakage of the blood-brain barrier, which allows synergy between chemicals and EMF, because the blood-brain barrier protects the brain from chemicals that happen to get in your body. And if that breaks down, you get even worse effects of these chemicals. And the very low currents can double the rate of cancer growth. Whether or not they induce it, we're not sure, but it certainly greatly increases cancer growth. Low electrical currents are normally used in the body for healing and changing cells from one kind of cell to another, differentiation and de-differentiation, to induce healing. And by the same token, if they're applied wrongly or artificially, they can induce cancer cell growth. And this is known. But the FCC wants to set the standards so that it's influenced, everything is heavily influenced by the Department of Defense and the military. They want to be able to use their radars and all their equipment, their electronic equipment, without restriction. And the FDA looks to the EPA to, they say, we don't know anything about health. The EPA controls the health. And the EPA drops the ball because they're told to by the government. And the EPA has stopped all research on EMF and doesn't talk about it anymore. So it's all without any controls at all, no feedback at all. And systems without feedback eventually self-destruct. And that's what's starting to happen. It's denial.
Yeah, I understand. We need to go to break again. So many breaks. But you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is biochemist Richard Conrad. He's talking to us from his home in Hawaii. His website is conradbiologic.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is biochemist Richard Conrad. He's at conradbiologic.com, and not only does he do consulting, he has many papers and links related to what we're talking about today, lots of information. And if you have a particular problem with your own health in this regard or want some help reducing EMF exposures in your home or workplace, give him a call. So, Richard, this is the last segment of the show. I know it goes by so quickly. Let's talk about what your general recommendations are as a consultant and what kind of precautions people can take. Let's talk about the positives of what we can do.
Well, one of the first things to look at is something that's easy to correct. Aside from getting rid of all the wireless and microwave sources in your home, and the technology that people are using, minimizing the exposure, and the actual EMFs, the magnetic field at low frequency from the house wiring. Most houses have mistakes in the wiring that creates unnecessarily high EMFs exposure that have all kinds of proven effects on people. And this can be corrected with by discovering these by having a Gauss meter and going around the house in the areas that people normally spend time. And an electrician that knows what he's doing, or a consultant using an electrician or directing an electrician, can often solve most of these problems in just an hour or two by correcting improperly connected neutrals, where you have neutrals improperly connected to each other, where they join two circuits together that shouldn't be connected. Shortcuts that the electricians normally take, and inappropriate grounds. By lowering the background EMF in the home, people are not as predisposed to getting reactions from the other higher frequency devices. And so that's a first step. I don't believe that any of the pendants or protective devices work. Most of that's nonsense. Those little labels that people say you can stick on a cell phone, absolute hype. There are a few active devices that generate Schumann resonance that people plug in to work. Some of them might work for some people, and they might hurt others. the one thing to know about the microwave systems out there, Wi-Fi, smart meters, all of these use pulse microwaves, and the pulsing is done at frequencies that the human brain uses in a typical EEG frequencies. And this is what makes them so much worse. The microwave, for instance, the cell phone is a very efficient delivery system of inappropriate but biological frequencies into the brain, because they pick the frequency of the cell phones and the Wi-Fi are right at the same frequencies as a microwave oven, where tissue absorbs and heats in if you have enough. But even if you don't have enough energy, the absorption causes low-level effects and can carry these pulsing, because the microwave is pulsed at a lower frequency. It delivers the pulses at lower frequencies into the brain that wouldn't ordinarily get into the brain as easily. And the wavelengths are not just easily absorbed by tissue, as we know when we heat a steak in a microwave oven, but they are the same wavelength as the size of the brain, which makes the head a good antenna for them, for receiving them. So this is all inadvertent, but it's dumb. It's blind. And people, once they're told, I'm talking when I say people, when the telecommunications companies are, when it's pointed out to them, they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to accept that they've been mm-hmm. doing things that hurt people. And then rather than protect people and redesign their systems in such a way as to cause a lot less damage, which they could very easily do by less different kinds of frequencies, different frequencies and different kinds of modulation schemes, they just stick their head in the sand and refuse to budge.
Well, maybe they're just like looking at it and saying, well, I don't want to shut down my company entirely, and that maybe they don't understand.
Oh, they understand what they're doing. They understand what they're doing, and they don't care. It's just like the people who are making thalidomide. Once it was discovered what it was doing, they still tried to cover it up. Cigarettes, the same. Yeah. Silicone implants, the same. They know what they're doing. They're no longer humans. They're corporate robots, and their function is to generate money for their company. But if they had any foresight, they'd realize that here's an opportunity to get a leg up over the other companies and develop new products that are safer, which they're going to have to do eventually, but be ahead of the game. But they stay behind, and they're hurting a lot of people. It's real.
Well, I agree with you that a lot of people are being hurt by this. I mean, I'm on a lot of mailing lists, and I get a lot of information about this, about how people are being hurt by electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And I do think that companies should do the right thing, and that somebody should be the first to have safer products. And then everybody will fall in after that. I mean, if you look, I mean, you and I have been in this field for a long time. And remember 25 years ago, there were a lot of toxic products and not very many safer alternatives. But when people like me, I'll give myself credit, when people like me started saying, okay, buy these, here's the little handful of safe products, buy these because they're safer. Now there's just so many more products than there used to be.
It'll happen, but much more slowly, because in the case of chemicals, it was the chemical companies and the insurance companies that were stopping it. Now it's the military and the government. So it's even harder. It'll just come out eventually, and I think it'll be public pressure that eventually will make a change, although as we can see with smart meters affecting so many people without them realizing what's affecting them at first, and they don't even know they have a smart meter, and they're getting these strange symptoms, and they correlate it finally, and then they have the smart meter removed, and they do a lot better, or they leave home, and they're doing better, and they come back, and they make their own correlations and see that it's real. And the electric companies are very resistant to even thinking about it or dealing with it. One other thing I wanted to mention quickly, and then we could go back to it if we have time, is the plug-in filters that are being sold to plug into your wall to supposedly reduce EMFs and dirty power. rarely work. And that's because most of the dirty power is from switching power supplies and other sources is what's called common mode noise. And these filters and the devices, the meters they sell to measure dirty power only measure differential noise, which is a small part of it. And they only correct differential noise at a certain frequency. So they shouldn't be relied on, these plug-in filters. They call them filters. They're not really. They're just capacitors. Should not be relied on to protect people in their homes at all.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So what are some specific solutions, besides avoiding, obviously, that people can do to use their computers more safely?
First, the general thing is that what makes people more susceptible and more sensitive is stress and inflammation. And unfortunately, electrical sensitivities, electrical exposures make people more stressed and more inflammation of the system. But if you can reduce stress from other sources and inflammation from other sources, people who are electrically sensitive are much more sensitive on days that they eat food that they're allergic to, for example. Sometimes problems, especially the insomnia, is due to the electrical fields interfering with melatonin and melatonin levels and its beneficial effects. So some people are benefited by taking extra melatonin before they go to sleep at night. I have an article on my website on partial solutions for EMF sensitivities, and one of them is inositol, taken at night, can help some people lower their inflammation and responsiveness to electrical fields. But for computers and to be able to be online, it's a very difficult problem. And the best thing I can suggest is to it's just a matter of picking devices that some devices work are cause a lot more problems for people than others. And one just has to try different devices and see. In general, everything has a switching power supply. All of the wall warts that we use, all the power adapters and chargers are switching power supplies. And to stay as far away from them as possible. It's best to use a laptop on batteries and not plugged into the wall at all when you're using it. And the charger should be used only when you're not at home and at some distance from you if you have to use it while you're on the laptop. Using an external keyboard and mouse can be a help. The old rollable mouse has less EMF than the modern optical mice. Certain keyboards are a lot worse for people than others. It's a mess.
I'm going to interrupt you there because we only have 30 seconds.
And I have a lot of solutions, partial solutions for that, and the real solutions are very expensive. For instance, I'm building a shield box for a projector, which can be used at a distance, projecting onto a rear projection screen.
Richard, I have to interrupt you because we've only got 10 seconds before the music comes on, and it's the end of the show. So thank you very much. You can find out more about Richard at conradbiologic.com. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Jeffrey Lincoln. Be well.